What do Nazi rocket scientists and plucky American nerd kids have in common? Huntsville, Alabama, evidently. We talked to the creators of a new documentary on Netflix, The Mars Generation. It's all new and all blue, starting now. Welcome to another episode of Blue Dot, coming to you via North State Public Radio in Northern California. I'm Dave Schlohm, your host, indeed. Recently, I spent a very enjoyable couple of hours on my treadmill watching a new documentary. Yep, that's where I watch them. It's produced especially for Netflix, the story of young, high school age-ish students that take space camp very seriously. If we manage to go to Mars sometime in the next 20 years, these young people, to paraphrase JFK, want to be a part of it, and they mean to lead it. The film is called The Mars Generation, and we have the filmmakers with us. They are director Michael Barnett and editor Michael Mahaffey. Both co-wrote the film, and they join us to talk about it from their studio in Los Angeles. Guys, what was the impetus for making this film?
A couple of years ago, we had been developing this project, and it was supposed to be something much smaller initially. It was a web series or just content, really, that we had taken to Time Magazine. And our producer, Austin Francolancia, had developed a relationship with Space Camp, and we knew that Space Camp was going to be doing its first Mars simulation ever. And so we reached out to them and thought it would be a good place to do maybe 5, 6, 7 minute little pieces about different things going on in space, what was going on at SpaceX or what was going on, you know, with the SLS or any kind of little fragment of space, right? I mean, we all know these little kind of snippets come out, and really, and Time said, yes, you know, Time is a magazine. He's been telling the story of space for a long time. And so so we started shooting, and very quickly I discovered, especially through the kids, that these weren't fragmented stories. They were all one story. What is going on in space is one big story that affects us globally. So I very quickly went back to Time Magazine and said, you know, I think maybe this isn't little 5 minute pieces in fragments. I think it's one big story, one big narrative. And they were like, okay, that's cool. You know, we also are a magazine and don't really know what to do with a big film. So let's find a partner. So we went to Netflix and, you know, almost a year ago now, and told them what we were doing and sort of gave them an outline of what the film would look like. We didn't have a film by then at that point. And they bought it nearly on site and said, we love this. We think this is a great idea. So that was kind of the impetus for the whole thing. I mean, we were all sort of space nerds back here. So it was just on our to-do list of stuff we wanted to make. But it grew into a much larger and a more ambitious project as we very quickly got funded and started production.
When most of us think of NASA, we tend to think of Houston, and we tend to think of the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. But your film is set in Huntsville, Alabama. Explain why.
I think it's set in Huntsville, Alabama, because that's where Space Camp is. And a lot of people don't realize Wernher von Braun is he created Space Camp. And that was kind of the birthplace of our rocket program. And not kind of, it is. So really for us, our film is a lot about rockets. You know, we have this massive historical context in the film, and we go through, you know, the decades of NASA, but NASA really built this beautiful machine, the Saturn V. It was incredible. It did incredible things. And we abandoned it for political reasons and just completely walked away from it. You know, we had an architecture in place. We had the funding in place. We had the staff in place to go to Mars. And we walked away for really political reasons during the Nixon era, the Nixon administration. And I think shuttle didn't really have anything to do that much with Huntsville. You know, I think it existed elsewhere. And I think now that we are heading back into a time of rockets, you know, it seems in some ways when I first started doing research for this, I kept thinking we were reverting to old technology, but really we're just reverting to the technology necessary to explore, you know, to get us out of low Earth orbit. And I feel like, you know, Huntsville was the foundation of that. So it was a great place for us to root our film or to root our narrative of the film.
You've mentioned the kids, and I want to get to them in a little bit. But your film is titled The Mars Generation. Let's quickly define, what does that term mean? What age group is that?
I think the Mars Generation is anybody right now, from 5 to 20. I think in their lifetimes, they are going to see somebody in their lifetime set foot on Mars. And it could be someone in the film. We don't know. Everybody in that film they're gunning hard to be the first to set foot on Mars. And there's some great candidates. So I think the Mars Generation is this generation of people growing up right now who are going to see new technology and new exploration and new economies and new life, you know, growing, being built, living out on Mars. So, and I don't think the public at large realizes sort of how close we are. There's a lot of people motivated to get there right now. And, you know, maybe I've drank the Kool-Aid, but I think we're much closer than a lot of people think we are.
One of the things I really enjoyed about this film is that it really provided a nice historical background to where we are right now and how we got there in terms of what this means for the Mars Generation. So let's talk about early in the film. You really do explain the complex nature of Wernher von Braun, and you don't shy away from the fact that he was literally a Nazi.
Yeah, I mean, Wernher von Braun is a card-carrying member of the SS. He, you know, got medals. It's rumored that he even met with Hitler. His big dream was to go to Mars, and he was trying to get the public to get behind him to go to Mars. And he had a plan that was on Nixon's desk to go to Mars. And that's the main reason why he was a major factor in the film.
And I also think Wernher von Braun's such a complicated character, right? You have this guy who was, you know, one of Hitler's top weapons makers. He was, he was a straight up Nazi at a tough time in the history of us as a species. And he got a free pass to come over here and ended up being the grand architect of maybe the single greatest accomplishment in the history of human civilization. So where does that moral ambiguity balance out? And as a storyteller, that's really rich stuff to mine, you know? And I think a lot of people have sort of heard the story that, you know, we brought some people over, some scientists over, but I think it's a really good time to remind people, you know, we did this extraordinary thing, but it didn't come without a cost.
Let's talk about some of the principal players in your film. Let's start with some of your experts. You've got, you know, the usual, I like to call them the big three, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bill Nye, and Michio Kaku. It seems like they're always the go-to guys for science documentary filmmakers. Was it easy to get them on board?
It wasn't easy, actually, because they are the go-to guys. I think they're the go-to guys because they're such good advocates for science and they've become such good spokespeople for science. So, you know, when you sit down and talk with them, they know their stuff. You know, they're really studied. They're really researched. And also the public knows them. I want people to see this film. You know, it's a Netflix original. It's got a huge platform. I think it's a good time to give us an honest reintroduction to our space program, the history of it and the future of it. And I think that once again, they're a lot like these kids. They're recognizable. They have, extraordinary voices that are thoughtful, that are considerate, that are researched, that are studied. And they come with certainly a level of notoriety and recognition. So it's once again, I think, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down with these guys an awful lot with me.
Well, let's talk about the real stars of the show, the kids at space camp, the Mars Generation. What was it like filming their experiences and working with them to make this film?
Yeah, I think the film that you see, I thought I knew about space. You know, we had done some research, but when I went in there, you know, the film it's a little tough on NASA, and there's some cynical stuff in the film. We all know that everyone has a different opinion about how NASA should proceed. But these kids were pretty unified in that they sort of, you know, they hope NASA continues, but they don't really care because they know they can't be stopped. So within 48 hours of shooting with them, we realized that their energy was, it had perpetual motion in place already, you know, that they were never going to be stopped, that they knew, you know, one of the guys in the film is he wants to just become a pilot in the military and he has no intention of ever flying rockets for NASA. He fully intends to fly for private sector. He is training and learning and studying for that role, for a job that doesn't yet exist. He is putting every ounce of his energy into that. And I think that's amazing to push ahead into the unknown knowingly. And the kids, you know, I think they sort of drip with that excitement throughout the whole film. You get a sense that they know something that we don't, you know, they're already ahead of us.
You're listening to Blue Dot. I'm Dave Shlom. When we come back, we continue talking about the new Netflix documentary, The Mars Generation, with the filmmakers Michael Barnett and Michael Mahaffey. And we're back on Blue Dot with Michael Barnett and Michael Mahaffey, filmmakers that created the Netflix documentary, The Mars Generation. It profiles a group of young people at space camp in Huntsville, Alabama. For people who may not really be familiar with what space camp is, can you just give us a brief overview on what that experience is all about?
Yeah, I think space camp is a camp. It's a camp where kids come together, kids from a lot all over the world, and... And I think you can start when you're 9 or so. We'd have to verify that, but I think so. And then and they go up until they're about 17 before they head off to college. They don't have to go that long if they don't want to. The sort of programs get much more advanced. We're following the sort of elite academy who've been going for a lot of years and are really advanced in their desire to study science. And it's a place where people can come and learn about space, truly learn about the history of our program, the future of our program, and space in general, and space travel. And so I think it's a really wonderful educational place that in the end also, if you have a real desire to work in that field, I think space camp is almost a prerequisite, you know, a requirement. Just because you get such a head start in the people you meet, the people that speak there, the people that show up there, the people that teach there are the leaders in these fields. So, you know, I think it gives kids, you know, a real head start and a real leg up in the STEM fields.
You're listening to Blue Dot on North State Public Radio. I'm Dave Shlom, and we're talking to Michael Barnett. He's the writer, director, and Michael Mahaffey. He's the writer, editor of the new Netflix documentary, The Mars Generation. Briefly, what do you want your audiences to take away from this film?
Yeah, I think what I want people to realize is that a lot of people think NASA doesn't exist anymore. And I think as they watch this, I want them to remember the extraordinary things NASA has done, the extraordinary things they continue to do. It is not without complication. Certainly the bureaucracy, everything else that might get in the way, and also how important it is to us, what we get out of it, the technology we get out of this program, the economy that we get out of this. And ultimately, if we don't keep pushing, the perpetuation of the survival of our species is at risk. So it is the sort of, you know, the ultimate reason to get behind our space program and to get behind space exploration, which is survival. So that's what I want people to take, which is kind of a big takeaway. But I think it's important for people to understand that. And I think people have become indifferent about what our space program has meant and does mean and will mean to us.
Why do you say that? Why is our survival dependent on having a space program?
Well, I think, you know, everyone in their sort of in their DNA, in their hearts, they can feel that this planet is has, you know, maybe a window, right? Everyone knows we're using resources up quicker than we can reproduce them. Everyone knows that we're beating up on the climate in ways that are unprecedented. We know that ultimately, you know, when we started way back in the cradle of civilization, we pushed outward because we knew we couldn't stay in one place or we would use up everything. And I think we can sense that we are doing that. At some point in time, we're not going to be able to produce the resources necessary to perpetuate the survival of our species. I'm not saying that's next year or in 100 years, but it is coming. And it would be a real shame having this sort of level of intelligence wipe itself out. And the only answer to that is let's get incredibly smart here. I don't have the solutions. I don't pretend to have the solutions to fix everything here. There's a lot of problems that need fixing. But a big solution is to become a multiplanetary species. That certainly solves a lot of our problems. That backs up our hard drive of humanity. So I think it's a smart play, you know, if not ultimately the only play.
One of my favorite sayings is that the dinosaurs wouldn't have gone extinct if they'd had a space program.
Yeah, that's great.
This is a Netflix production. What's it like producing content for them as opposed to, say, a cable channel like Discovery or National Geographic?
Yeah, I mean, we've been making movies for a long time now, and Netflix is really new to the game. We've made films for Showtime and HBO and PBS, and working for Netflix is empowering, I would say. They really like filmmakers. They're very filmmaker friendly. They want filmmakers to go tell their stories, to bring their perspectives to it. So what they never did was give us notes to take our voice out of the film. Not that other people do when you work with them, but noticeably, the way they empowered us as filmmakers and storytellers was unparalleled in my experience.
They have a show on right now, Bill Nye Saves the World, and the target audience for that seems to be millennials. Is there a target audience for this film?
Yeah, I think we were really conscious about making our target audience start young. And then because there's so much rich history, I think it's a great reminder for older crowds and baby boomers and even older. So I think our target audience was globally everybody. You know, we cast a really wide net with this film. I think kids can dig in at a pretty young age, 9, 10, 11, I think is a great age to watch this film. I think they can sit with their parents and their parents will be illuminated as to what they've forgotten or maybe didn't know about our program and what's going on currently in space exploration. And I think certainly, you know, parents of parents, grandparents will watch the film and be reminded of the sort of greatness of our achievements, reminded of the moral ambiguity of our achievements, and then maybe be totally blown away by, you know, how far we've come with landing rockets and what that innovation, how profoundly that could impact us in the future. So, yeah, I think the nice thing about the film is it does play to a really broad audience. I mean, space affects everybody. So we were very conscientious when we were making the film that we wanted everybody to be able to sit and watch the film and understand it and enjoy it and be profoundly, hopefully, moved by it.
There's a rich history of documentary films and narrative films dealing with the space program and space exploration more generally. Are there any films that particularly influenced you as a filmmaker?
Yeah, a lot. A lot of them were narratives. We referenced a lot of narrative films when we were making the movie. But a film came out actually year before last, Last Man on the Moon. And it was just a great reminder of a bygone era that was so extraordinary and that we just walked away from. And it really pushed us even harder to say, hey, instead of focusing on something, a moment like that, let's put this into a broader context. So we didn't want to make anything less than the definitive sort of space film of this generation, because we really wanted to make it to introduce space to millennials who don't know, who don't have anything to latch onto in space. They don't have shuttle. They don't have Apollo. You know, they have a retired shuttle program. That's how most millennials, you know space. And they think that NASA is closed. So hopefully when they watch this film that they'll realize there is so much happening in space, private sector, NASA, globally, you know, with the Chinese, the Indians, the Russians, the Europeans. I mean, everyone is dipping their toes in the waters right now and trying to push you know, for a new era of exploration. And I think that's exciting. I think maybe it's more exciting than the Apollo era, especially if we accomplish it in the next decade. So, yeah, I mean, maybe we are sitting at the precipice of the most extraordinary accomplishment in the history of civilization. So that's something, you know, if I could make a film about that, that seems like a great subject to make a film about.
And Last Man on the Moon, of course, is the story of the late Gene Cernan, who just recently passed away. He was the last human being to set foot on the moon back in December of 1972. And that's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago. So people forget that from 1972 until now, we've gone from like LA to San Diego in space. So that doesn't seem that extraordinary to me. You know, I think some of the byproduct of what has happened during those decades is the growth of economy, us changing the way we run our world, you know, technologically speaking, through the internet, right, through telecommunications. I think low Earth orbit drives, you know, 90% of the GDP globally or something now, right? So I think that's extraordinary. But, you know, I think it's also short-sighted. I think it's a little greedy to take this program, which had such ambitious plans, and to, for many decades, use it to kind of grow Earth industries seems very short-sighted to me. So, and I think we're right now at a time where we are switching gears. I mean, we're trying to make low Earth orbit industries much cheaper by using reusable rockets, and hopefully that'll be able to refocus a lot of resources and energy onto Mars. And Mars is not necessarily the end-all be-all. It's next, and then after that is next, and onward and upward for generations and centuries and thousands of years. So to think of it that way, to think of it, you know, I love how Elon thinks of the future. He thinks of it in such sort of big scope terms. You know, he doesn't think about our generation. He thinks about 500 generations from now. And to think about how to perpetuate the survival of our species, you have to think that big. So, yeah. And I do hope that's a takeaway with the film, that how important it is to push technology, to push this innovation, to push exploration.
And you're speaking, of course, of Elon Musk. What do you think of what he's doing with SpaceX right now?
I think SpaceX is incredible. I really do. You know, I didn't want to make a film that was propaganda for SpaceX, but as we were going through, it was easy to do. It was an easy rabbit hole to fall into because his architecture and his plan is so far ahead of everybody else's. And what he's doing just on the reusable rocket side right now, I mean, what, 2 weeks ago, he just launched the first reusable rocket. That is profound, to reuse a rocket, to know what that means, how that will impact us in the future. I think that's extraordinary. And I think his vision, the scope of his vision, is unparalleled as well.
His vision of also not wanting to, what makes him an interesting character is he knows he can't do it. Like, it's not just a SpaceX mission. We had this part in our film where he's really trying to spark a massive forest fire within governments, within other private industries, to all get on this hype train to get to Mars. And, you know, if he can, you know, if he can figure out how to land a reusable rocket, I mean, he's basically wants someone else to try to beat him and make it better and keep pushing this innovation so that we can get to Mars, you know, as soon as possible.
Well, as someone who grew up in the days of Gemini and Apollo and the golden age of space exploration for the United States, one of the things I appreciated was that contrast you show between 50 years ago when I was a kid growing up and we were the dominant power in space, landing on the moon, building the space shuttle, at least talking about going to Mars back then. And now we find ourselves having to hitch a ride with the Russians on the Soyuz just to get our astronauts to the International Space Station. And you include John F. Kennedy in his famous speech at Rice University. And there's a line in there where he says, this generation does not intend to founder in the backwash in the coming age of space. And if you're not familiar with the nautical metaphor, foundering means sinking, and backwash is the turbulence of receding surf, as in you're not even getting out into the ocean beyond the breakers. And it seems to me that right now we are foundering in the backwash.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, with everything that's going on right now, politically, geopolitically, it is a nightmare that we rely on the Russians to get our astronauts to and from space. The geopolitical security issues, it goes on and on and on. And on top of it all, it's just embarrassing. So, you know, hopefully in the very, very, very near future, within the next year, let's hope that there's not any more setbacks, we will solve that dilemma. People do forget that Apollo was retired in 1972, and there was a huge gap between that and Shuttle. And that's where we are right now as well. You know, Shuttle was retired, and we didn't have a vehicle to continue getting us to and from space. But we do have a lot of stuff on the drawing board right now. So, you know, be it SLS or be it, you know, Falcon 9 or Falcon Heavy, or be it, you know, Blue Origins or whomever else it may be, but it's time to sort of get on the stick and get something working right now. I think it's an absolute nightmare and embarrassing and maybe shockingly dangerous if we really want to get into it.
Well, that was one of my takeaways from watching your film.
Yeah, good. It should be a bit of a warning. You know, what I don't want to do is, it's, our film is not propaganda. It's not using any scare tactics. It really is, my hopes is that it's a, you know, really journalistic and researched sort of where we are with space, you know, an unvarnished look. And I think shying away from the fact that we rely on the Russians would, you know, be a disservice to the film, to, you know, us as storytellers, and to the truth. So I think it's a very important aspect of our program right now, or lack thereof. And I think it's something we need to remedy in the very, very short term.
Well, all I know is as a child, as a young person, I was very proud to see that United States flag on the side of the Saturn V rocket. So I'd like for the kids that are going to space camp to be able to look forward to an American spacecraft, whether it be privately built like from somebody like Elon Musk or government funded or some combination thereof, or even an international cooperation. But relying on another country that has a lot of hostility towards us really bothers me.
Yes, you are exactly right. I mean, relying on the country that maybe has the most hostility towards us to get us to and from space is terrifying.
Well, the whole reason we went to the moon was to beat the Russians, so it seems rather ironic.
It's a strange irony, actually.
Well, we're out of time, but I want to thank you both for spending your time, and it's a wonderful film, and I hope people will get on Netflix and watch it. I enjoyed it very much.
Oh, thank you very much for the support.
Michael Barnett and Michael Mahaffey, the creative forces behind The Mars Generation on Netflix. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks again to the Michaels, Michael Barnett and Michael Mahaffey, creators of the Netflix documentary The Mars Generation. Blue Dot comes to you from the studios of North State Public Radio in Northern California. You can check out this and lots of other cool episodes on mynspr.org, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast groove on. Follow us on Twitter at @NSPRNews or me at Dave Schloem. For the Red Planet's native son, Nolan Ford, I remind you that from deep space, we all live on a pale blue dot.